It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here from Champions on Baxter Street. My name is Rodney DeBolsey. I'm joined by Jake Roos and former Georgia head coach Jim Donnan. For the next 45 minutes to an hour, we'll be talking Georgia football. We'll be answering your questions, so go ahead and send them in. Go ahead and share this with all your friends. We have a nice prize for we're going to pick some one person at random for that shares this. We have a very nice Rose Bowl prize for you. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but trust me, you'll love it. First and foremost, before we get started, we need to thank all our sponsors. Athens Ford, the only Ford dealership in Athens. Please swing by there if you need a new or used vehicle. That is the home of the lifetime powertrain warranty. No one else offers that. It is a unique thing that they offer out at Athens Ford. Your customer service experience out there will be off the charts. So swing by Athens Ford. Get something you can't get anywhere else from the best people you can. And you're supporting other Georgia fans. I mean, they are big, huge Georgia fans out there. So if you got to buy a vehicle, you know, especially like that, those 2018 F-150 Raptors, that's where to do it. You know, two birds and one stone. Support the people that support the program that you follow. Also, big Georgia supporter, Georgia alum, is the founder of Your Pie. Your Pie is not a pie place. It is a pizza joint. You don't go in there and ask for key lime pie. I was very disappointed. But you can get a phenomenal pizza there. It is custom made. You get it exactly the way you want. You go in, you tell them what dough you want, whether you want the wheat, the gluten-free, the white, what sauce you want on it, what cheeses, what toppings. You pick everything you want, and then they turn around, throw it in this fantastic oven. You get a great crust and just the best pizza you can get. So swing by Your Pie. There's over 50 locations. I think they're going to be up to 58. When we started the show, I think they were at 40-something. We haven't been doing the show that long. Now they're up to 58, and they're just going to keep growing. I know people who are getting out of my business. Bob Rosato, guy that huge photographer for Sports Illustrated for years. He's opening up his second Your Pie franchise. So
what are we doing?
I'm telling you, if I wasn't doing this, I would be doing. I'd have Your Pie franchises all over the place, and I'd be making money with Drew French. I also want to thank Founders Brewing. The best part of the week is drinking our Founders Brew. I have the the Backwoods Bastard.
I think that you have the Backwoods, yes, if I'm not mistaken. And I have, of course, as always, the All Day IPA.
You're drunk.
You can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. So.
What's the difference between a backwoods bastard and a frontwoods bastard?
I don't think you want to find out.
After you had a couple of them, you're not facing frontwards anymore.
So you got to go in the back of the woods.
Exactly.
I guarantee you, these two guys really enjoy this. And what you don't know, they have four or five after you leave the show.
They know, Coach. They know.
The best kind of beer, cold and free.
Yes, exactly.
We also want to thank 365 Game Day. Get all your Georgia gear, your SEC Championship Georgia gear. See that cool polo the coaches wear in there? You can get stuff like that at 365 Game Day. Of course, you can get it through Rivals, and I think we get like a 3-5% kickback on stuff like that. I'm not even telling you to do that. I'm telling you to support the folks at 365 Game Day because they support our podcast. And, again, huge Georgia fans over there. So go to 365 Game Day and help them out. Speaking of big Georgia supporters who help us out for no good reason, shout out to Robert Wall and Cable East out in Statham, Georgia. No good reason to support the show. He just does it because he's a great guy and loves good football games. And I'm sure he was as heartbroken as the rest of us when he watched the Georgia lose in overtime. But he will be the first to tell you that was a hell of a football game. So,
Tom Gross says, either my mic is too hot or my voice is fried. It's probably a little combination of both. Today is about the first day in the last 4 days that I've actually felt like a human being again. So,
we've been on the sick list?
Yes. Yeah, I've been laid up at the house for a couple of days now. So, I think all that traveling and the national title, and then I had to watch the Falcons on Saturday, and that really put me over the edge, I think.
Well, you know what to do. If you take aspirin for 14 days, or you can take nothing for 2 weeks and get the same result.
This reminds me of like, this is good for you. This is not good for you. Remember when eggs were bad, then good, then bad, then I don't know where they are now, but I'm going to eat them anyway. And same with take baby aspirin, don't take baby aspirin.
How can chocolate chip cookies be bad for you, really? I'm serious, man.
That's the fuel that keeps me fired up. I also want to shout out to Champy's. We're here in Champy's Restaurant, the best fried chicken you can get anywhere. And as Jake was about to point out, we have a plate of tamales. I know when I mention this place to everybody, I mention the fried chicken, but when I come in, I tend to order the tamales over everything else. Don't get me wrong. They do have the best fried chicken. Voted best fried chicken 3 years in a row in Athens. And if you, it's the best fried chicken in Athens, it's the best fried chicken in the state. But I'm telling you, the tamales here are lights out.
It's
catfish, though. I mean, come on.
Now, catfish kills it. I am a tamale sucker. Everywhere I go on the road, I'm texting guys. I'm looking for tamales. These are easily the best in town in Athens and probably the best that I've had in the state of Georgia. So definitely get out here and check them out. They're awesome.
So we're in
awesome.
Chicago, you know, home of the Chicago deep dish pizza. This guy's looking for tamales. Well, we're in Chicago, dude. But, yeah, so we do have a tamales expert here. And, if he's going to give them the official endorsements, please swing by. And try.
I didn't realize you were a tamale expert.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
That's just two things.
From way back.
And beer. Anyway,
so you don't even, some of these kids, do they know what tamales are? I mean, you ask them about it?
We don't talk about it. We don't get around to it.
What are your top five schools and your favorite three places to get tamales?
Back in the old days, you could take kids out to eat, you know, when you go on the road and you just go take their parents. And I had this kid up in Western North Carolina, and I said, would you like a shrimp cocktail? And he said, Coach, I don't drink. That was bad, but that's the truth. I said, well, I'm glad you know, but I'm going to have one. It was funny, though. Seriously, I got to get to this. We had this place up in Salisbury, North Carolina. It was a great steak place. And this one kid, Robert Pulliam, was an unbelievable defensive lineman that was being recruited by everybody. And Robert just said he wouldn't go out to eat unless he went there, you know. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, he went there every week.
He went to the same place.
He went with us on Monday, Tennessee on Tuesday, North Carolina on Wednesday.
Was he ordering
Clemson
the same?
I don't know what I'm but he just, four straight nights a week, he went for like 3 weeks and ended up going to Tennessee. Robert Pulliam, great defensive lineman.
Wow. Got some
Yarbrough's was the name of that place.
Some good meals out of it, too.
So what did you get there?
I had the steak, man. It was awesome.
How do you remember stuff like that?
Well, you can't forget steak, but you remember. You remember
that's
Robert.
A new tagline for
you
the
remember
show.
Great fried you remember, chicken, you never forget steak.
You remember
steak.
Robert Pulliam, though. I mean, good Lord, yes, what sir. A defensive lineman. Yeah. But it was tough, though, because you couldn't really do much talking to the kids while everybody just had their head down slopping the hall.
Sure. Especially a big old lineman, I'm sure. You weren't getting much in with him edgewise.
That guy loved him. He came four straight nights there for 3 weeks.
Yeah, on somebody else's dime, too, so that's pretty impressive. We're going to jump right into here. We have a lot of questions we need to get to now. And we will get to them, but Coach, normally we lead off the show with a review of the game. We talked a lot about the national championship game last time, so I'm going to skip on that and not go there. But to me, the most pressing issue right now for Georgia is kind of where they stand. This past week, the news came out that Trent Thompson was leaving early for the NFL and Roquan Smith. I don't think anybody in the Bulldog Nation blames Roquan Smith. Some people are scratching their head at Trent Thompson doing it. I don't because, I mean, he was destined for the NFL, so he's just left a year
Trent
early. Give us your thoughts on that,
Trent
please.
Just made some money yesterday with those guys from Clemson staying.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, because he moves right up. But, you know, you just got to look at each individual case, and we've talked about it on this show before. And that's one good thing about having Kirby as our head coach. He's been involved with so many prospects that could go pro or not at Alabama, and he's doing the same thing here. And he just talks to them in terms of where you stand and what your possibilities are. And the one thing I think all fans should realize is a player comes first in every issue, whether it's a health issue, whether he's going to continue to play because of an injury, whether it's an academic situation where, you know, the guy's having trouble. So this is your school, but you also got to look at this young man or these young men are the sons of families and in a lot of different ways. You know, it's a good way for them to amplify their family income, whatever it might be. But in the case of Roquan, I mean, it was very difficult because of his love for the school, and Trenton did too. But, you know, Trenton just had some up-and-down situation injury-wise, and I think probably looked at that and said, hey, I need to get with it. But you always want guys that are juniors that could go to the draft. I mean, as long as you got that problem, that's a good problem because, you know, last year we had four of them. that decided to come back, and they look at how they helped their team, and now we've got seven or eight, you know, when you look at Ledbetter and Rochester and Baker and those guys. So and it'll continue to get more and more every year. Look at LSU over the years. In the last 5 years, they've had 31 guys leave their program after their junior year. And it's hard to maintain any competitive balance no matter who you got coaching when that happens, you know. So unless you're just recruiting at a clip like George is doing now, it's just very difficult. And you look, you talk about all these guys Alabama's got back next year, but they don't have a lot of Deron Payne's back.
No.
And they don't have a lot of Minka
Calvin Ridley's gone
and
to
Minka Fitzpatrick and all that.
Scarborough's so, headed out. Yeah.
So, but that's not our problem. That's theirs. But I do feel like that Kirby, just the way Roquan handled it, was all world, you know, just because you could tell the sincerity of how he felt about Georgia and about being on the team here. And that's the kind of atmosphere that Kirby's created, that these guys want to be part of a championship program.
Kirby notwithstanding, Coach, you know, put yourself in that situation. You've been in that situation before. If you got a guy with Roquan's stock, his ability to go where he does in the draft, I mean – do you even really make the argument for him to stay, or do you say, hey, son, you need to go take this opportunity because it's a pretty once-in-a-lifetime gig?
Well, what they got to remember, the Dog Nation people out here listening to our Facebook Live deal on 11 Live, need to understand. How'd you like that tease there?
I was well not. I actually hit the little show note there so we could pull that later.
But I wanted to say this, really, that your cred with your players is such that you're always going to talk to them about the good and bad of every situation because that's what they look up to you for from a leadership perspective. I mean, you got to understand that you spend more time with these kids than probably anybody for 4 years than anybody will the rest of their lives, you know, when you look at all the day that these kids are around the program. So they got tremendous confidence in Kirby and his knowledge of pro football, having dealt with it before. And what I did, and I did the analogy of when I was here, I just felt like Hines Ward, it was just being completely straight up with him, and at the same time Robert Edwards and his family, that hey, you need to come back, you know, because you've never played receiver before, you need to learn the nuances, and you're going to have a chance to really help yourself. And it worked out. Champ Bailey, what are you going to tell Champ? I mean, it's just such that, hey, Champ, you know, you got to go. I mean, that's all there is to it. But if you really want to stay, you know, we'll help you with an insurance policy. We'll do all, which is perfectly legal, you know,
yeah,
for
sure.
Fans. You can protect the insurance. But it would be hard for Roquan to improve his draft status anymore. I mean, how can anybody have three or four games in a row on national television any better than that young man had?
Exactly.
Dominant. I'm talking about dominant against powerhouse teams, it's with the exception of Tech, but it showed his ability against Tech to go against a different style and to adjust to it and just dominate the game. So he's, you know, Kirby knows how to do it. And you, answering the question, you talk to him and say, look, here's the situation. Here's a couple of general managers I want you to talk to. Here's a couple of people that have had the same situation that I coached that are in the pros now, the one or two that stayed, one or two that left. And, you know, give them a good database to compare to.
Sure, absolutely.
It's funny, when I was thinking of Roquan Smith and the attention he got, I'm not used to a Georgia defensive guy getting that much attention.
Yeah.
But like you said, he had dominant games on national television. I think he made his bones, you know, becoming – because, you know, if you're a national writer, you don't – you have to do something amazing to stand out to those guys. That's why they always talk about running backs and quarterbacks, because they can point to numbers. When a guy like Roquan got into that Notre Dame game on national television and had three stops in a row – that put him out there. That got him the Manti Te'o type exposure, you know, where everybody knows who he was. Everybody could talk about him.
In the good way.
Yeah, in the good way. And in the backstory. You remember before the whole...
Not in the made-up girlfriend.
Well, it did. It did. And the only reason I'll interrupt you here is that is really salient to the fans knowing it. But if we'll go back to the Facebook chats that we've had, I reflected on the fact that I was out there with a pro scout one day at practice, and I shared it with our fans that, you know, we were talking about the different guys on our team, and I said, well, what do you think Roquan Smith? At that time, I was thinking Roquan, this was early in the year, that he might be a you know, a potential pro guy that could come out. He said, Coach, if that cat keeps playing like he is, he's going to be a top 10 pick.
Wow.
And, you know, I didn't really share that to that extent because I don't want to put any pressure on him. And he's the other guy that said, which we had, that of all the teams in the country, the best four on the hoof that he had seen were Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, and Auburn. Remember that?
I remember you saying that. That's
so
kind of shocking.
Some pretty creditable deal about the way our team looked on the hoof. But getting back to Roquan, you know, that national image was projected there, but also the pro scouts come out there and they see the guy. You just have no idea, unless you're there, his sudden burst that you got to have. And there's a nets but between a guy knocking a pass down and not knocking it down, or grabbing the guy before he breaks in. Look at all these plays by an inch in the NFL playoffs that he can make.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And get your defense off the field, give your offense another chance, because what everybody needs to realize is that every player that's going to, for the most part, of the 22 out there, is a five-star player. You know what I mean? From the standpoint of ability-wise, maybe not recruited, but have, you know, Tom Brady, we know about his, but to get to that level, then you're going to have to produce at that level.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know a lot of people are like, well, you know, if he came back, he could. And there was never a good answer at that point.
Right.
Everyone, that's when I knew that I shouldn't say that Georgia didn't have much of a fighting chance, because it took
anybody that says that he needs to come back doesn't deserve one of these tamales.
That's true. They're the same people that blame one player for losing a game. And I'm going to take up for a guy at the Saints that missed a tackle there at the end. And
He's trying to avoid the
shout out though for the Saints losing. That was
glad of that. But if
I feel bad for that.
Yeah,
guy.
I do. I mean, and here's always been my pet peeve, and it's a complete tangent from what we're talking about. But if you blame one player, if you're blaming Malcolm Parrish or Dominic Sanders for Georgia losing the SEC, the national championship game, go to hell, because you're an idiot, and I don't want you watching our show anymore. Okay, you're useless to me. Unfollow me, because no one person loses a football game. One person might lose a wrestling match, but no one loses a football game that way. To your point about Roquan, when I would see the fans say he needs to come. I will say very few people said he needed to come back. It was almost universal. We'd love him to come back. It would be huge for him to come back. But
huge for who, though?
For them. And the thing that always cracked me up was looking for someone to say he needs to come back because. And there was never, ever a legitimate or even believable reason why he needed to come back. And we said it on the show in February. I mean, not February, in September. If Roquan decides to go pro, we'll help him pack.
Yeah.
Because that is a guy that he's given you everything you could. He's done wonders for your program. But let's focus on some of the guys that are coming back.
Well, I want to ask you this, too. You know, everybody's making – because you guys are on recruiting more than – but Clemson's making a big deal about all those D linemen coming back. But I saw this morning where none of those guys had a first-round grade.
I saw that as well, yeah.
So if they didn't have a first-round grade, there's a heck of a reason for them to come back.
Sure, right. Sure.
In Roquan's case, you're looking at a top 10 guy, and people need to understand about the money situation compared to the – it's not so much your first contract anymore, it's your second, because there's such a structure of all the pro guys. Let's say you're a 10-year vet and I'm a rookie, Matthew Stafford coming in, and I come in and I sign for $52 million, you know what I mean? And you've been playing for 10 years. Well, they griped about that in a collective bargain, and they set up a structure where anybody in the first round is, you know, it's going to be prorated on down, and you can, no matter where you're drafted, that's just what you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
Well, you know, once you get out of the first two rounds, I mean, it's very hard to get the big money like you used to be, and then what you got to do is after 4 years get that second contract.
Well, and one of the things that I saw people point to most often when they were talking about the possibility of Roquan coming back was, oh, well, maybe he'll carry on this tradition that was started last year with Nick and Sony and Lorenzo and David. Again, not guys who were in the same spot. I mean, that's really
every
what it boils down to.
Every situation's individual, and that's where Kirby is the master of, talking to him. But I think the symbolism, though, we kind of got spoiled by the fact that these four guys wanted to come back. And when they came back, there was definitely a question mark of what's going to happen here. Now –
it's established for these guys. They don't need Roquan to prove it to everybody. It's been proven. So there's enough leadership here to carry the load, that's for sure. But he would definitely have been a difference a guy like that's just a complete difference maker, offense or defense. You very seldom have a guy that can do that.
Who do you see stepping in for him?
Well, you know, I think you're going to look at some of these freshmen that we've signed. You know, Tindall's going to be a good player, I guess. But, you know, we just have to see. A lot of it have to do with how much nickel they play, what they're going to do moving guys around. I mean, will they move Grant? What will they do with him? You know, there'll be a lot of – and there'll be some indoctrination with a new coach, too, because you got a new outside backer coach coming in. And, you know, Schumann knows these guys inside and out. So we'll just have to see.
I was thinking about what we saw from Monty Rice, especially in that Vanderbilt game, you know, with Natrez out.
Crowder, Rice.
Tate Crowder came in. And that's not the same thing against Juwan Taylor. You know, I mean, this is a guy who has put in his time. I think he's going to be like a senior that's coming up here. But to me, if I had to put my money on it, I think Monty Rice is the guy. Because you hope that Natrez Patrick, you know, works through his issue and remains on the team, which I think he will. And he comes back and you get a guy like Monty Rice, remember, from Alabama.
Yeah, a guy like I want to interject that because you made a great point there. But that goes back to the general manager type personnel guy that Kirby is, looking into the future. And I'm going to give him credit for that. He saw in Monty Rice a guy that had some of the same traits that Roquan had. And when he got here, he made a move on this guy.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, even though he was over in Alabama, he went after him because what you want to do is
pro guys, you recruit, you know, sign guys and NFL to fit your system, and that's what Kirby did with Monty Rice. You made a good point there, and he went out and got him. And the one thing you can say about Kirby's recruiting is he can show you back 8 or 9 years, all these guys that played in his system, that played in Tucker's system, that, okay, I envision you being this position here, that, yeah. And you can really fit in, and here's what we got. And that's what's good about having these guys come and visit on a weekend when you're practicing. You take a guy out like Jake, who's a great wide receiver, and I said, look, all right, here's the guys you got to beat out right here. You can see them right there. How do you feel about it? And if a guy acts like, well, I don't know if I can play. Well, hey, you probably need to go somewhere else.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That worked out good for us. That one weekend, I think we had 10 guys in, 8 of them signed, didn't they?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and I totally agree with the Monty Rice point. I think that coming out of high school, he was a guy who really reminded me a lot of what Roquan does. And he's not as fast. I don't want people to get that impression. He's not much slower, but he's just not that quick. I mean, that's freakish quick. But he plays sideline to sideline so well, and that lateral quickness is what's so important when you watch Monty. The way that he is able to go from side to side and move so fluidly, it allows him to cover so much ground and make up lost ground if he ever finds himself in that situation as well. So really a guy that I think is going to be able to step in.
Good point. And the other thing that you got to remember is who's he playing with. You know, there's 10 other guys, and you're a good complement to guy. You know, let's say you got some stone cold guys up front that can really deliver a blow and hold the line and protect the edge. Then that makes a guy like Monty a lot better. You know, whereas Roquan could get off blocks, run down people, all that. But hey, you're gonna play around Monty's strengths too, with the way you call defenses and what you do. I mean, he might not be as big a blitzer as Roquan, but hey, Roquan is a Heinz 57 guy. I mean, he's got every kind of variety. He can do everything. He can play coverage. He can blitz. He can take on blocks. I mean,
yeah. I like that you mentioned the point, because I think a lot of people don't know or maybe have forgotten by this point. But Monty Rice played at James Clemens High School up in Madison, Alabama, and in front of him on that defensive line was LeBrian Ray, who ended up going to Alabama, being one of the top defensive ends in the nation, defensive tackles,
right.
Just a massive guy who was taking on a lot of that. So Monty's used to playing with the kind of guys like he's going to have in front of him, you know. And I think that that's going to allow him to flourish even further. It's not a situation where it was all on him to pick everything up. You know, he had some help there, and I think that benefited him a lot.
Well, it doesn't matter. Nate McBride's going to come in and be all
Nate will do good. But You know, I don't want to hog this because you guys are talking about recruiting, but I do want to talk about philosophy and how players establish that kind of swagger about the defense that we've established here. And the fact that our defense is, when you talk about great defenses in the country now, you talk about Georgia's defense.
Sure.
Yards against the run, yards given up, red zone defense, points allowed, being physically dominant. You know, we had the one bad game, but hey, it's hard to score on us.
Yeah.
I mean, they shut them cold the first half. And the one area that needed more help than any is the pass defense, and that's been addressed. It's been addressed in the last two recruiting classes, and I think it'll continue. And having Baker back will give you another guy that has really, really flourished under Kirby and Tucker's technique.
Well,
you know what I mean?
He's
really, really developed. Now, he knows that he's not ready. I mean, he could probably go up there and make a team, but, I mean, if he improves as much between last year and this year and next year, he's going to make himself a lot of money.
Well, and I said the other day when he released the statement on Twitter and came out and said, hey, I'm coming back, I think one of the most important things about that is this idea of having some veteran leadership back there in the secondary. I think with losing Dominic Sanders, Aaron Davis, Malcolm Parrish, you know, you're going to be a younger group back there. So to have a guy like that who's experienced, I mean, even J.R. Reed, you know, this was his first year kind of getting up and running. I think having a guy like Dre Baker, who's played himself into a potential NFL spot, who's really bought into the system and has really flourished under Mel Tucker, you know, that was a guy that I think going into, you know, the coaching change, you wondered, is this guy ever going to make an impact? And then to see how far he's come, I think it's a big, big gift for them.
I think the change helped him because they didn't have any preconceived ideas about what he couldn't do. And, you know, let's face it, and we'll say it, I mean, this is not the Kirby Smart Show, but I'm going to tell you what, these guys coach him up.
Yeah.
They technique him.
Well, I mean, just go to Tyler Clark. I mean, to me, again, a guy who you weren't sure when he came in. Didn't he come in with Trent?
Who's that? Tyler Clark?
Tyler Clark.
Yes, he did.
So he was the other guy.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, hey, we got Trent Thompson. Oh, yeah, and Tyler Clark, is that the guy's name? I mean, no one knew who the hell he was, you know? I mean, he was highly rated, but not nowhere near Trent Thompson. Trent Thompson was number six in the Rivals rankings. He was number one elsewhere. You know, people talked about him all the time. Tyler was the forgotten man, but when you saw the jump that Tyler Clark made from last year to this year, insane. Andre Baker.
I stand corrected on that. I'm sorry. Tyler Clark was 2016.
Oh, my.
He was the 16 class.
That's what I like about you. Man, I admit you made a mistake.
I had to go look that one up real quick. You couldn't be in the Congress. Well, because I remember.
Well, that, he never passed the drug test.
I remembered that.
Well, did they start doing that?
Mykel Carter.
Sorry, it was Mykel Carter that got all the attention.
Yes, it was.
Because Mykel was so huge, you know, when he came down to Georgia and Alabama, and Mikael's just, you know, this massive guy. Jackson?
Out of Jackson, yes.
Jackson, yep. Yeah. I saw him versus Malik Herring at that Jackson Mary Person.
Yeah.
Oh, what a. If you ever get a chance to catch a high school rivalry game, go watch that one. That one's insane.
That middle Georgia football is fun,
it is fun to watch. But, boy, you better wear a hard hat when you go down there. But Tyler comes in. You know, you mentioned Andre Baker, the jumps he's made. To take a guy like Tay Crowder, who came in as a running back, and to make him a viable linebacker. And I'm not saying that the guy, you know, was at kickoff. It's your secondary and tri-terry guys on the field in special teams and coming in subbing.
Yeah.
Who, and this is not to take a shot at the coaches in years past, because I will to this day still say Tony Ball is the best wide receivers coach I've ever seen. Not a strong recruiter, but he can make anybody catch passes. There are coaches, there are recruiters. This squad is known as being recruiters. You look at what they've done on the recruiting trail. But I think it is unfair to give them, you know, short shrift when it comes to developing these guys. They're not just bringing in ridiculous talent. They're coaching up the guys they have. And, again, if you deny that, I can point to 10 or 12 guys who are playing above, not where we ranked them, but above where everyone expected them to.
Sure.
And so, to your point, Coach, yeah, it's not the Kirby Smart Show, and I'm not trying to say he's the greatest ever. I'm just saying that we have concrete examples of guys who were already in the system who are playing better now.
Well, another example of that, a guy who came to my mind as you were saying it, and it really what it's been about, I think, so much has been these guys finding proper fits for these guys, finding areas that they can flourish in. And the guy who came to my mind immediately was Jason Stanley. Hasn't been able to make much headway in the receiver room, but God, he's been an impactful special teamer for this team. You know, he's able to get down the field. He's able to get down there on kick coverage and you know, he's the first man down every time. That's the kind of thing that in the long term will benefit him. And, you know, will he end up playing pro? I don't know. But he's going to be able to have that on his resume and bring that to someone when he goes to make those decisions and meet with some teams.
We need to bring up, Coach, what are your thoughts on Dan Lanning?
Well, Dan Lanning is the recent hire to take Kevin Shear's place, who's left to go to Tennessee to be the defensive coordinator. And I think, first of all, I want to give Kevin a lot of kudos the way he handled himself here throughout the process of getting the team ready to go against not only Oklahoma but also Alabama. Just a class guy that really has fit in extremely well under Coach Rick's staff and here under Kirby, and I know he'll do a great job up there for Tennessee. I hope he doesn't do too good a job. But as far as Kirby on the coaching, one of the things I always felt like when you replace somebody, you want to get somebody in, if you can, that you know. Usually it's hard to hire a stranger. You know, I made a couple bad hires over my career, and one of them really bad, but I'm not going to get into it. But the point is, you don't, if you have a background with somebody, you know how they react under pressure, you know how they work, their work ethic, you know their ability to make things happen within your system, then I think that's what and Schumann's a very good example of that. Did not have a full-time capacity at working for Alabama, but he'd worked exclusively with Kirby, and Kirby knew that he could, you know, do what he needed. The same thing with Lanning. He had a similar role there at Alabama, moved on over to Memphis on his own. But get guys that are going to know your system, know what to do, react like you know. When something happens in our system, our guys know what to go to next because they've done it before, you know, and I think that familiarity helps. Plus, one of my ex-players that coached at Memphis, I asked him about the guy just because, just out of the blue, it's always good to ask about that so we can talk about it if you ask me. And he was very high on him as a recruiter and as a coach. And if this guy has a hard time, would have a hard time saying that Champions is good fried chicken. I mean, and it, not because it's not, but I've never heard him say much good about anybody. And he said that about Lanning, so I figured this guy must be a superstar. So.
I think it's a big advantage too with Lanning now as your outside linebackers coach, Schumann as your inside linebackers coach. That's a lot of youth on that side of the ball, and you're recruiting and Trey Scott, who's a younger
and
guy.
The
as
other
well.
Thing about that too, more than likely, it's going to be a little while before these guys, somebody's going to come, you know, before they become a coordinator or leave like that. So I mean, there's a lot to be said about stability. You know, we went through the first year without losing anybody. Now we've lost one. But stability is good, too. It's good for the players. I mean, it's good for a player to go to work every day. It's just like, you know, my dad told me this a long time. Who's your boss? Is he Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde? When you go to work, do you never know what's expected? But, hey, everybody knows who your position coach is here. This guy got the chance to come over here during bowl practice and observe and meet the players and get a head start and knowing about the recruits and all. And the way I feel about it right now, I mean, if you wanted to go to Vegas with somebody, you'd go with Kirby Smart because he's shooting 7-11 on a lot of things there. So I'm all for this guy.
I mentioned last week in a story we did over at UGHSports.com that Nolan Smith was one of the first guys who have contact with him. He said, when I saw that hire, I got on the phone. I got in touch with Dan Lanning.
Who's Nolan Smith?
Nolan Smith, right on the cusp of a five-star for 2019. I think he gets there by the end. One of the top pass rushers in the nation for that class, and a longtime Georgia commit. A guy who has given Georgia fans a reason to take some blood pressure medication from time to time, because he is entertaining other offers. But he said, I got in, and I talked to Dan Lanning. He said, I called him right as soon as I saw it. He said, I trust what Kirby Smart's doing. He said, I trust his vision for this program and what he's got ahead. He said, I think Dan Lanning can bring a lot to this program. I like his enthusiasm. I like his energy. That's huge to hear that from a guy who is going to be a key piece for his first recruiting class.
Right. So Georgia still has one spot left. All the schools were allowed to hire a 10th assistant. Georgia has not announced who that is yet. I'm sure Kirby's had someone in mind. He's probably had someone in mind for over a year. Coach, last week you mentioned you thought, despite the fact that there are already, five offensive coaches, they might add a sixth, which would seem a bit, the scales would be tipped a little bit. But when you have Mel Tucker and Kirby Smart, two pretty stout defensive coaches, and then, like you said, I mean, to me, having a young coach isn't always the best thing because they don't, there's not a lot of experience there. But they do, as you say, when it comes to recruiting, they match with these kids. Kids love a younger guy. But you mentioned the fact that there might be another offensive coach. I mean, where would you put him?
Yeah, I think the thing you got to remember, though, in the grand scheme of things, you've got analysts, you've got graduate
Jay Johnson's one.
Like, we just lost a guy to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Jay Vali.
Jay Vali has gone to –
recruiter for Georgia, by the way.
But he did a good job. But, I mean, he's got a chance to go to pro ball. But he was a behind-the-scenes guy that doesn't get a lot of – but this guy did a heck of a job for Georgia, with a scout team, with preparation, with analysts. So you got a lot of guys like that help beside the 9, now the 10. So yeah. I think just from my standpoint, you're going to look at a guy that could – come in and really amplify the recruiting on that side of the ball, or maybe who's to say they wouldn't get another one on defense too. But I just think the one thing that I would bring out to all fans is if a guy can recruit is one thing, a guy can coach, but you cannot be a college football coach if you can't recruit and develop players. So that some guys get typified, well, he's a good recruiter, but he's not a good coach. Hey, you're going to have these guys for 3 or maybe 4 or maybe 5 years. You're going to have to recruit them every day.
Yeah.
And be consistent in your development, the way you treat them, the way you handle them, and they're going to help you recruit other players if you do that. So that helps you as a coach because you're learning how to motivate a guy, because everybody doesn't have Roquan skills. He doesn't have his ability that you can just, and some programs like basketball, the guy said one time, he said, who are they going to hire? And they said, hey, you just need to hire a good bus driver and make sure they get to the game. So, and that, I mean, I'm serious. But, in this case, the first thing that I would say is the G is very powerful. So you're going to be a good recruiter, and you're going to learn to be a great recruiter because you got a good – resource to back there when you're going out there. And then the other thing is you're going to learn from a guy that's going to be relentless in what he asks you, because he's not going to ask more from you than what he does. So Kirby, I mean, he's texting these kids, he's using all these social media, using all these graphics. I mean, we got all these things behind it, because it gets down to this: every kid that we recruit is getting recruited by the best in the business.
Yep.
And what's the edge that they got? What is it? Hey, the guy's not going to go there because of a weight room or because of a letter he gets or something like that. But you got to be at least as good or close to everybody else, where you're not saying, well, what's wrong with George? Why don't they have this? Well, hey, there's nothing negative here that they can even use. It's going to go down to transfer benefits. Hey, how do you feel about the coaches? Where's your chance to play? And, in Justin Fields' case, he didn't care about the ability to play right away. He felt like he could. So good players are going to do that. So a lot of decisions to make. But I'm going to remind the fans one more time, when a guy makes a decision or a girl makes a decision, it's not just about going someplace when things are good. Where would you like to be if something's not going good?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm getting called out by some of our readers here saying that Roddy, you promised.
You told him to go to hell.
No, Roddy, you said Jacob Eason was going to stay, and he transferred. I never said he was going to stay. I said there were two schools of thought on whether or not he would
that
stay.
Anybody blames you for that needs to go sell
his
car.
Well, no, it's kind of one of those I got you type things. I said there's two schools of thought. One, he sticks around. He'd already beaten Jake Fromm out once, so I could definitely see him doing it again, showing the NFL coaches, hey.
And it's his fastest path.
Yeah, and I don't have to sit out a year. He knew that there would be a reset come spring. I said that was one school of thought. The other school of thought is he can go anywhere and play because that's all the NFL scouts want to see. They're not going to recruit you or draft you higher because you played at Georgia versus, you know, you played at UNC. Doesn't matter. If you can – you check their boxes, as you say. That's one of your good phrases there. When you check the boxes and you make the throws and you do everything and they have tape on you from last year, not, you know, 2-3 years ago, they're going to draft you. They don't care if you went to MTSU, Presbyterian, you know, Savannah State. They don't care. That's how well the NFL works. So I said there were two schools of thought. I said repeatedly, we don't know which way he's going.
Sure.
So Jacob Eason comes out and he's transferring. We've heard that he's going back to Washington. That would make perfect sense considering his family's from there. We wish him nothing but the best. The guy came in, had a tough, tough situation that first year with the coaching transition, a unique offensive line. Yeah, you know, it was good sometimes and struggled at others.
Sure.
Injured running backs, you know, they were not up to speed they were this year. A lot of people, you know, to me, the people that come in and say that Jake Fromm outplayed Jacob Eason, you don't know that. The difference between the entire team year one and year two is night and day.
It's just talking points.
I mean, it's just saying, the point.
I mean, it's not your fault he left, that's for sure.
No, it's just I'm being called for predicting it. I never predicted it.
Because you predicted it?
I didn't. That's what my point. But
give us some love. Hey, we also predicted Justin Fields was coming here and nobody thought we'd get him.
That's true. So, yeah, we're more right than we are wrong, even though we didn't predict that one. To that point, Justin Fields on campus.
We predicted Fields coming here.
No, I'm saying we didn't predict Eason leaving.
We didn't predict Eason leaving, though.
But Fields was on campus.
Well, I mean, anybody in their right mind would ever thought that Eason was going to stay here? I mean, come on. Why would he stay here?
Not just
based on – I mean, there's a lot of reasons to say why he would. Maybe that's the wrong one. I don't want anybody saying Coach Donovan. But, I mean, basically,
no, I mean, like
you
Coach
look
Donovan
at,
per-
look at the percentages – I mean, you know, he knows what Jake's done, what he had, you know, even if Fields isn't here. I mean, it's hard to think that he could win the job back. So, I mean, he's just going to go to another area of the country where he's from. I mean,
I think in his mind, he figured he could win the job back. The guy's extremely confident.
He definitely could, but, I mean, you look at the percentages.
But why fight it? You know, there are a lot more teams.
But if you're his dad talking to him, and you're saying, well, hey, Jacob.
3,000 miles away.
No, he said, I feel like I can win the job back. Okay, if you could, why didn't you win it back during the season this year? You know, they had their you know, the way the season. But I think that's spilt milk here talking about that. I mean, the guy's got a tremendous arm. He's got to work on his accuracy. That's going to be the difference between him being a pro quarterback and not being a pro quarterback is the accuracy factor. But I thought he showed a lot of class the way he handled everything here and the way he didn't mope around. And early on he was a little bit down in the dumps, but he really came back and worked hard and was a good team guy. That's what you want. You know, you can't lick your wounds there. I mean,
it's the same thing with the graduate transfer that Jacob Eason beat out.
Grayson Lambert.
Yeah, Grayson Lambert. The guy that was cheering for Jacob Eason the most was Grayson Lambert. The guy who was displaced by him was the first one who would greet him after every touchdown throw. And when we saw Fromm walking off the field after the heartbreak that was the national championship, the first guy waiting on him was Jacob Eason. So Georgia fans, you know, follow his career, root for the guy. He came in.
I remember the day he committed.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the other thing, he had a lot of adversity through his recruiting. I mean, he had different coordinators. I mean, three different coordinators recruited him, two different head coaches. I mean, so, hey, but let's go on with
I got to run this one last note on Eason real quick. A year before all that went down, I remember we were interviewing him at one of the camps, and he said, look, the only thing that's keeping me from not going to Georgia is if Mark Richt or Mike Bobo were to leave, before he got here, they were both gone. He still stayed to Georgia. Yeah. So shout out to Jacob Beeson for doing his thing. There are a number of early enrollees already on campus. We've seen five-star offensive tackle Cade Mays out there. That is one huge human being, especially as a – I don't even call him a freshman. That is a high school senior.
Yeah, yeah.
At this point,
absolutely.
2 weeks ago, he's in class, or 3 weeks ago, he's in class in high school.
He's a college freshman in name alone.
Yes.
You know?
So he's out there standing toe to toe with all these guys. And I'm not saying that they were hitting, I'm just saying when you look at him side by side by side, that is a massive human being. And then we saw Devon Wilson, you know. And the funny, when the coach was threatening to send him home early because he ran a drill the wrong way. It was just. Mel Tucker is a funny
guy. You guys got a real break here, you know, with Georgia making the playoffs because you can't go out there very long during the season, but you had 15 or 20 minutes.
It was beautiful.
And you guys it was like having some Champions chicken out there for you guys. You got that 20 minutes out there with unlimited access, with video, everything.
We can tell you all sorts of things that happened in practice.
I mean, I sent you a text. How in the heck did you get that picture of Phil standing there? And then you said, well, it's unlimited access. And I said, oh, I thought you were trying to pull a slick one there.
Yeah, we got our drones and spy cameras inside the indoor practice facility. But we saw Justin Fields
up
there.
We were the first. When I say we, your website was the first one to say that Eason was on campus. I mean, Fields was on campus, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
You had it.
We did.
The scooper.
Well, we'll just like start at scoop. Scooper is a different connotation altogether.
Well,
but you're right. We did have that. And Fields being here, Devon Wilson, Kyrus Jackson's on campus.
Trey Hill's here.
Trey Cox.
Trey Hill. That's a big deal. Yeah. Brenton Cox is here. So
I believe
my point being,
Warren Erickson is here.
Yeah, Warren Erickson.
That's right.
Out of North Gwinnett. So Georgia already has three offensive linemen on campus who are going to be able to go through spring practice. You're going to have a talented wide receiver, a talented defensive back, a very good pass rusher, as we saw Brent Cox just light up that Army All-American game. Or Under Armour or Army All-American? Where is he?
Who, Brent?
Yeah.
Under Armour.
Under Armour. I can't keep my game straight. Although we did have reporters at both. And you're going to have Justin Fields here. Point being, we spent a lot of the first part of the show talking about some of the guys who were leaving, you know, the addendums that you've gotten, the guys that have added on. What is that, nine new players? Spring practice in 2 months is going to be fun to watch because you see those guys out there doing their stuff. And the G-Day game, we see Fromm on one side and Fields on the other. I think Kirby's –
He should play for both teams.
Yeah. Well,
actually,
put him on one side. He'll just kick both their
butts. Hey, we got three good quarterbacks. I mean, I like Bennett.
Oh, I do, too.
I mean, I do. And the thing about spring practice now that is so difficult and because it's so highly scrutinized, you only got 14 days because the 15th is a G-Day game. And you got 3 days without pads, and you can only have two scrimmages, so you really the first 2 weeks of practice in the summer you get more than you do spring practice. So but the fact that this is our third spring practice really had these kids know what to expect. What I'm really excited about is these kids have seen what happens when they're under Sinclair, what he can do for them.
Yeah,
you can make quantum, you know, during the season you can't do a whole lot because you just got to maintain, but right now these guys are putting it down on the weights, so the next 2 months they're going to be hitting weights hard, they're going to be doing agility, they're going to be doing everything to help improve between last year and this year in that area, and that makes you better as a player because if you're a weak defensive back upper body you can't play press coverage if you're not strong enough to engage a guy, so the weight room helps. You know, I like to see these DBs that got some guns. Don't you?
Absolutely.
I mean, I like guys to look like.
I will give you Brandon Boykin right off the bat. Brandon could knock your head off, you know. And I saw him take on receivers. You know, some guys 6-7 inches taller than him, but in that press coverage, you'd watch that head whip back, right. You know, and you knew he's going to call for a personal foul at some point.
Yeah,
but Brandon was cut.
And every DB is not going to be a guy that can just make great tackles, but you got to be able to play press coverage in this attack here. That's the way we play. We play a lot of man coverage and a lot of get after you, and you got to be able to stop the run in this league. And if you can't play press coverage, you have a hard time doing that. I mean, and I think the first half of the other night really exemplifies how we could stop the run. We stopped it.
Sure.
Yeah. And knowing that, I mean, as, to your point, this is, you know, the third spring practice. There were guys last year that made huge jumps during spring, going to set them up for fall. But to your point, you have to win that job. Just like you have to coach these kids every day, you have to recruit these kids every day when you're coaching them up. These kids are fighting for their jobs. There are no safe positions over there. You look at how many times the I mean, we were 3 weeks into fall camp, and Kirby Smart said, we have one offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. We did,
and he was right.
And we developed them, but the one thing
guys switched around.
The one
too.
Thing that you do as a coach is you you always tell the seniors you're going to have the first chance to win the job because that's why they're here. You know, and even if they weren't the starter last year, you might the first couple of days put a guy out there and see what he can do because some guys play better with better players around them. But it's a senior group there that you work for. And hey, we had 31 seniors counting some of these other guys that didn't necessarily dress, but we had 31 guys. That's a heck of a large class. This class here, you're not going to be near as big, but they'll definitely have good competition, and they've seen the fruits of their labor. You can talk about, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, but hey, here's the blueprint, man. We started out as a team maybe going to be pretty good in the SEC East. But we got to the last two doing this the way we're supposed to. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So you can work hard at it.
Question from Carol. Who else could be leaving? I don't think anybody else can. They've,
no, that's
you mean,
it.
As far as leaving early for the NFL. So,
I mean, somebody could have left and hadn't been announced. You know what I mean?
True,
right. I mean, Thursday's a definite day that the NFL puts it out there, don't they?
I believe that's right.
Yes, sir.
They say these guys, and then after you've done it, you've got until, like, February something that you can rescind that if you hadn't signed with an agent.
But that's usually the first thing they're doing is signing with an agent because the agents are the ones telling them, hey, I can get you here. This is why you need to leave early, stuff like that. So
we didn't.
Yeah,
have,
most of these agents are pretty good, though, but some of them are lower than well manure.
We had a question, too, about Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, pro prospects. How do you see that going for them, Coach?
Can't miss.
Either
I think both of them, just from a standpoint, first of all, Sony gives you that guy that can play out of the backfield a la Kamara. You know, he can do all those things. He can line up as a receiver. He can pass protect.
He can return kicks.
And Nick can return kickoffs, too. From Nick's standpoint, you know, human wrecking ball. I mean, he's going to make the pile move. He's going to bounce off. And the overriding thing for both of these guys, when a pro scout comes in, the first thing they talk about is not about can you block, can you run, can you catch passes. What kind of kid is he?
Yeah.
And when you talk about what kind of kid those two guys are, you're talking about A+.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, because you don't need a bunch of problems with a guy coming in, you know what I'm saying? When you go put that kind of money in it, it's hard to – occasionally you'll take a risk, but neither one of these guys is a risk. And, you know, you got a little bit of problem with Nick had the knee injury, but he certainly proved he's coming back for it. And Nick can catch the ball. He just, when you got Swift and Michelle, you're just going
to
throw the ball
to
those guys. But I think both of them, I mean, it's not very often you get drafted in the first round like Todd Gurley and all, but I think they'll go in the second or third round, don't you think?
I think so. I think they got a good chance, especially Sony. I think Sony's going to
Going to go higher.
Yeah.
Just and because of his versatility.
Someone pointed out the other day, I said that I'd love to see Roquan end up with John Gruden. I think that those two would just really love each other. But he said that someone on Twitter hit me up and said that he'd seen a mock draft that had Roquan Smith and Sony Michel going to the Raiders, and that would be a lot of fun to watch.
And that, the Raiders are going to be my new team because they're going to move to Vegas.
My buddy's
out in Vegas, and we're going to go out and catch a lot of their games.
And a lot of times, that has a lot to do with the guy's success. Some guys can handle different coaches better than others. You know, yeah. I had a quarterback at Florida State, Gary Huff, that went in the first round, and, you know, he went to the Bears, and Abe Gibron was a coach, and he was just an old crusty defensive coach that was got after him all the time, and this kid was not as good at handling that, but he did okay, but as compared to going to a guy that can handle you. So I think in the case of Roquan, you know, whoever he goes with is going to be okay because they're not going to have to do anything with him as far as, you know, except just give him the playbook and tell him what to do.
This is another A-plus kid. And to your point about what the scouts look for when they come in, I have scouts contact me about what these guys were
like.
Where
to eat?
No, about they say, how was this kid in high school? How did he handle the recruiting process? They know I know the food.
I just know that I know, but I just want, I didn't mean to bust you on that, but that's, I'm impressed they're asking you about that.
Yeah, they'll say, hey, this
You're
kid.
You're pretty versatile, man.
Well, no, they just want backstory because they want to find out, okay, well, this kid was had issues, you know, there were rumors about this kid when he was in high school doing this, doing that, then, you know, your college coaches took them because they don't care like we do. They don't have the same money invested that we do. So
bull.
I'm just saying that's what they do. So I will get questions from pro scouts about guys when they were recruited, you know, and most of the time it's like one of my perfect examples is Rashawn Evans out of Alabama, one of my favorite guys to interview. And I'm like, look, when you get him in a locker room, he's going to be just like Sonny Michel and Roquan Smith and Nick Chubb. This is an A-plus guy. He's going to enhance your locker room. He's going to be an asset to your team. This was one of the most fun guys to interview. Alvin Kamara, another one. I had nothing bad to say when I was asked about Alvin Kamara. I said, look, this guy, I know it didn't work out at Alabama. Tennessee were idiots for not playing him as much. But this was not an Alvin Kamara issue. If it were, and I'm honest with the guys, I'm like, you know, okay, this kid is a kid who I would like to buy for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth, you know, and make some money off of him. But Alvin Kamara, right. I pointed out, said, look, these issues he had, these were not Alvin Kamara issues, you know. Right. So
how about Alvin Kamara?
And I've been proven right. So
how about Alvin Kamara when he signed? They said, what are you going to do with that bonus? I'm going to go get me some. I'm not going to say the word, but
some chicken wings.
I'm going to give me some M-blank-F wings.
That's my boy.
You know, like,
that's my
hey,
guy.
Seriously, though.
Atlanta to the bone.
You know,
I love it.
And Mike Davis, too.
One of the reasons you listen to this or watch it is little clips like this. These guys do these psychological profiles on players,
yes.
Okay, because they want to know what makes them tick, you know, and how they're going to react to coaching and all that. I had an NFL scout call me when I was the head coach and said, I just want to know if this guy gets beat on a speed rush, how's he going to react on the next play? And I said, well, I'm going to tell you about it, but why would you ask me that about his reaction? He said, well, on the psychological profile, they said that he tends to dwell on negative issues.
Wow.
So I said, well, the only thing I would tell you is if he gets beat on a speed rush, he's going to work his butt off to make sure that doesn't happen again. I've never seen that happen on the field, but that just goes to show you the depth of what. So obviously, in the pros, if you get beat more than one time, and you know, like that guy got beat four times from the Cowboys against the Falcons that day because he was a backup tackle, you know, the carryover is unbelievable. So they're going to check you out on a lot of different areas there. But, I mean, those little – so I said, where did you get this profile? And he told me. So I went out to Kansas City and talked to this psychologist, and I got this profile – and we tested all our players along that, and our coaches did a better job coaching these guys, knowing what their abilities were, how they react to certain things. Even though you've done it, but you know, here it is. This based on this, you might do a better job of handling this guy if you do this. You know what I mean? So that's just a little thing that you use to help them a little bit, because you got to motivate these coaches to coach them the best way, and if they got that kind of psychological profile.
Well, that makes sense, because a lot of the calls I will get, you know, it's based on They're trying to flesh out a history because, you know, the stuff that happens in college is much more well-documented than what happens in high school. So they're looking for anybody who can fill in those back pieces. But a lot of that also goes to the psychological history they're working on. And I will say this. I was at the Combine 2 years ago.
Roddy would say, hey, well, he'll smoke a little weed, but he's pretty good.
Everybody smokes a little weed. He's all right. Don't worry about it. He's okay. He ain't going to shoot anything between his toes.
That
but
kid's
he,
got
he,
good weed.
That kid's got the best weed you'll ever see.
Yeah, we had a couple of joints after the game.
How do you think I broke his commitment? When I was at the Combine a couple years ago, I tell this story. John Theus was like 4 hours late to an interview because they were going over a high school injury that he had in his foot.
Wow.
At the hospital. You know, they're going to check out Nick
Chubb. You got to.
They're going to check out Nick Chubb's knee before they spend $13 million on him 8 ways from Sunday. They're going to do the same thing for anything Sonny Michel's had. So if you think they're going over 5-year-old injuries with a fine-tooth comb, you can bet your boots that they are going to do the same thing over your psychological history. And
we do the same thing here. We go through – you can't believe the Ron Corson's on the cutting edge, our certified trainer here on everything. We do so many tests on guys because you need to understand is this kid physically able to handle what he's getting ready to go to? And sometimes they haven't had those kind of tests. And, you know, I've had guys that we've found out at a lot of different schools that had a congenitive area, whether it's a heart or whatever it might be, and you present the situation to the family and say, look, this is not fair to you or to us for us to let him play. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And you had the same situation with the defensive end.
Jarvis Jones.
Came here and then played. He couldn't pass the physical out there. So it's just you better check them out.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Kirby's got 25 that he can bring in. And you can't miss on many and win.
No.
You know, because you're going to have a couple that might do poorly academically, a couple that might want to transfer, a couple maybe get injured. I mean, at the most, if you get 20 out of 25 to produce, that's great.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But still, you got to check them out and see where they fit. And sometimes you're saying, these guys out here are saying, well, why do we let this guy, why do we do, hey, You got the guy over there right now that knows how to manage the roster but knows what he wants, just like a guy running his business. Somebody comes in for an interview and, hey, he's got all this stuff, but he just don't feel good about how he'd fit with everybody else. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's where some coaches are better than others at personnel, and I just think Kirby – based on my dealings with him, when he was in Alabama's assistant, guys that I recommended to him and guys that he didn't take or, you know, his reasons for it, whatever. I mean, I'm talking about recruits. Yeah. He's a tremendous evaluator. I mean, he can look at guys and figure them out pretty quick.
So we need to take him to the track.
Yeah, there you go.
On the horses?
On the horses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One last thing I want to ask.
You go to horse races?
Of course I do. That's where I smoke all the joints.
Well, I guess we have got to wrap this up before we incriminate ourselves today.
I guess you did, because I saw you right there at Santa Anita.
We were at the Santa Anita racetrack. Shout out to Santa Anita Horse Park for setting up an event for the Georgia fans out there in L.A. I went out there with Dave McMahon, our statistician, our guru, who came back with a big – he had folded money, Coach.
I mean, he's always got folded.
I mean, but it was.
Do you think there
was a lot of folded money?
Horse races are fixed.
Well, if they are, then Dave was back there, found out how. I mean,
I know one time I went to a dog race and I saw this guy behind the kennels back there just pouring water down these guys' dogs' throats and then make them go run. You know, you figure that guy ain't going to win because that dog's got too much water. He's not going to hunt.
Nah, I don't know if they're fixed, but, I feel it was on the up and up.
I tell you what is fixed is that High Lie. Have you ever been to that?
No.
Down in the Miami?
In Miami?
Yeah. Chula. If the ball hits a crack, they call it a chula. And, you know, if it hits a crack, it's not coming out. And, man, I tell you what, that was this, when I was recruiting at Florida State, we used to go down there and watch these guys, and they'd take you in behind the scenes. And the guy wanted me to hold one of those things and did. I said, hey, I'm not going to get killed. But, all right, what's the question here?
No, well, I was going to say, we were talking about these psychological evaluations and these physical evaluations. I think, and I just want your opinion on it, easier to fix, psychological or physical? I think physical normally, yes?
Yeah, I mean, if the guy's got issues psychologically, you don't have a lot of Dr. Phil's working for you, man. It's hard to get him, it's tough.
And I think people forget that sometimes in the recruiting game, that there are some of these guys that, frankly, do have some psychological issues, have some problems that could prevent them. Yes, absolutely. Prevent them from seeing the field, prevent them from being recruited by a school, et cetera, et cetera.
There's a reason why a guy is first team in Little League and he's the other guy's second team. Usually, the guys that are second team in Little League don't have a hard time being first team the rest of their life. That's just genetics. I mean, I wish it was like that, but that's usually you can pretty much identify if a guy's going to be a D1 athlete when he's 9 years old.
True. Absolutely.
Wouldn't you say that?
I agree. And
there's some guys – there's always a few that
sure.
Well, to your point, there are kids who, my son's 13. I've coached his little league teams for many years. There are kids who I am following now. There's like three of them that I'm like, that kid is going to be a monster,
And then you go tell those stories about when you used to take him behind the place and give him some money.
No, I never say that. It'll be when I took him to Chuck E. Cheese on their 11th birthday, or when we won the championship when he was 13. When he's an NFL draft pick, there are some kids in this town. If you go out to the downtown Falcons, which is a fantastic organization here in town. They take on some. Underprivileged youth, and they have a great football program for them. They do.
Who coaches the quarterbacks out there?
I don't know anymore.
I'd like to go out there and see what they're doing.
They do wonderful work out there. But we had a kid out there by the name of Sammy. He's now transferred to Athens Christian on the
scholarship
12 and under. Yeah, scholarship 12 and under team out there. This kid at age 12 was 350 pounds.
How tall?
Over 6 feet.
Wow.
Yeah. Now he's lost a lot of that weight, and this kid is just strong as an ox, and I'm going to keep up with Sam. And now, of course, my son goes to Athens Christian, but there are guys like that. There's
won
a kid
the league
truck.
This year, didn't
he? Yeah. Well, I'm just saying there are guys out there who you can, to your point, I've done it where you see the kid at 9, 10, 11, 12 years of age who are years ahead of their compatriots. Now, will that turn into a D1 athlete? You don't know. I mean, other mothers might catch up to them, but
well, some of them size never get bigger and all
exactly.
That, but I'm talking
but
about.
They, but to your point, they do catch your attention.
Skill level and all that.
And we had a couple players. There's a kid out of Athens Christian named John S. who you put him on defense. He tackles everybody. Put him on offense. No one can catch him. Now, does that happen in high school? Who knows? But if he stays that far ahead of everybody else at the same age, you have a Robert Kimdichie.
Yeah.
We identified him 8th grade.
D'Angelo Gibbs, Dylan Moses, right. Owen Papo was a kid we were talking about in 6th grade.
The guy that killed people at Alabama, the linebacker concussion.
Reuben Foster.
We knew him in like 5th grade. You knew Reuben Foster was going to kill everybody. But I'm just to your point, Coach, there are certain guys like that. But what you're talking about, and this is the thing that I wish we cover recruiting day in and day out, there are certain kids who they're more than just a height and weight.
Yep.
There's a personality behind there. There's a drive. There's family factors. There's girlfriend factors. There's motivation factors. It's not always as well. It's not as
cut and dry as 6'5", 310.
But that's the guy who should start.
The point, though, that everybody needs to understand. The old deal about, hey, the guy's a good kid. He tries hard. He competes. He's a great teammate and all. All that's good, but if a guy's 6 foot tall and weighs 240 pounds, it's just hard to play him in the offensive line.
Absolutely.
Because there's a 6'5 guy that's just like that, and then Thomas that's got all those attributes too. And it's just tough. It's not fair, but that's just the way it is. You've got a profile of what you want at that position, and you're not going to deter from that, because for every one that you would take like that hoping that he would make it, there's 50 that won't. So you can't do that.
Well, that's why I do the same thing in recruiting writers. I mean, I'm always looking for the next one who's actually any good.
Yes. Yeah. Shout out.
You guys
send in those resumes, kids.
You guys got – you guys got it down there. You can invest. I tell you what.
All right, before I lose my job, I respect one thing.
This guy can evaluate players now.
Yes, he can.
I've seen a lot of guys that have those positions that think they can, but he does a very good job of – when he shows me a tape, there's a reason why for me to look at it. And not that I'm a great evaluator.
That's high praise indeed. But I don't give me that. I'm not a great evaluator.
But I see
your recruiting classes.
I don't want to see –
You can't humble yourself out of this one.
But I don't want to see I can't say it wouldn't be fair. I don't want to see some bad tape just – I mean, he sends me good things to look at. And what's happened on that kid over there?
He's picked up a couple more offers. Right. Justin Aboygabe. Keep your ears tuned up for that kid. He's a big time.
Before we cut down the show, I want to give a mention our sponsors. But I spent yesterday, speaking of recruiting, at the Dream Challenge at Morehouse High School and watched three Georgia commits, one signee. Saw Elias King, a 2019 shooting guard. He did not play that much because it was a blowout. And the coaches sat him. They're like, look, you know, we don't need you.
Did you watch him in warm-ups?
No.
Come on. That's where you can see if the guy can shoot the rock.
He can shoot it. He's a pure scorer. He was killing it. And whenever he got in.
Bryce Ramsey, they had to go watch him warm up because he wouldn't throw any in practice.
Ouch. That's cold-blooded. But I did watch warm-ups of Amonzi. It's Ngumezi. He said it for me like 10 times. Ngumezi? Yeah. Amonzi Ngumezi. He is the replacement for Yonte Bayton. This is a 6'9", 240-pound guy who was on the outside. You know, he's up out on the perimeter, dribbling the ball between his legs. I mean, he looked like a point guard. He'd pull up, hit a three. He'd drive the lane. He's going to be fun to watch. He needs to lose a little weight. He wants to get down to about 235, but this guy's going to be fun to watch. I have a tape at UGA Sports of him just doing all the different stuff.
It's awesome.
It's pretty amazing. But the biggest get of the day was watching Ashton Hagans, five-star point guard, number 6 in the nation, the highest-rated kid Georgia's ever had. I mean, he's ranked higher than Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say ever because you can go back to like Dominique.
Sure.
But in the recent era.
Yeah. Certainly in the Mark Fox era.
I swear I was watching like, guys like Larry Bird. I mean, just watching Magic Johnson. This guy, the way he whipped that ball around, he got mad at one of his teammates because he was looking two passes ahead. Because he couldn't get it down low, so he threw it to the wing who wanted it to go in, and the wing didn't toss it in there, and he chewed him out because he sees two passes ahead. The one guy had a triple-double. He wound up scoring 23 points. He had 12 assists and 10 rebounds. I was stunned that he had 23 points because every time he brought it up, he just passed. He had behind-the-back passes. One went through a guy's legs. He had a bunch of steals. But Ashton Hagans, if Georgia hangs on to him, 2019 kid, which I expect him to, he's recruiting very hard for Georgia. He's recruiting Christian Brown, another five-star guy. I know that the basketball team has lost two in a row. They play at LSU, I think, tonight.
Tonight at 9.
I know that losing two has got people down on it, but if you could see what Georgia's roster is going to look like, don't be too down on this program because those three kids – are lights out. And you already got guys like Rayshon Hammonds and Tyree Crump. And anyway, swing by UGASports.com and check out the videos I put up of Ashton Hagans and Amonzi.
How about our tennis team dominating Tech yesterday?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Hey, beat him like a tom-tom.
And Manny loves it, too. Him and Jack Bowerly, I mean, they enjoy just rolling Tech. When's the last time Jack Bowerly ever lost to Tech, Dave?
I don't think he did.
I think he's got like a...
I don't think he did.
He's been like 40 years. The guy just absolutely kills him. But anyway, before we go, we want to give a special thanks to Your Pie, Drew French, and the guys out there for sponsoring our show. Athens Ford, there is only one Ford dealer in Athens. It is Athens Ford. Swing by there to get your new or used car, home of the lifetime warranty. No one else does that. It is special to Athens Ford. They also sponsor our website, not just the podcast. They sponsor UGASports.com. So when you're reading all those practice updates, when you're reading all that scoop, we have stuff on there today about some top guys, Quay Walker and Otis Reese. when you're reading those stories, is thanks to Athens Ford. That's why we were able to do what we do. So big shout out to them. Shout out to Cable East, Robert Wall out in Statham. Thank you so much for being part of our show. Thanks to 365 Game Day. They're huge for us. Thanks to 11 Live for letting us be on their page. Go ahead and just like their page. I think that's a fair.
That's easy.
Fair exchange for getting to watch Coach Don and give you all this knowledge. Just hit the little thumbs up thing on their page. We'd very much appreciate it. Thanks to Founders Brewing.
Always.
I'm not saying that they're my favorite sponsor, but they are the one that gives us beer, so that kind of counts. And of course, Champions for letting us come in here and take over the restaurant and annoy their wait staff and the owners and everything. So, shout out to Champions for letting us be here. We will be back next week. It will be a very recruiting heavy episode. Get your questions in early. We have a lot to talk about when it comes to recruiting. Georgia has 5 spots left. They've signed 20. A bunch of those guys are here. Those 5 spots are going to be at a premium. We should have some predictions and updates for you when it comes to guys like Tyson Campbell, Isaac Taylor Stewart.
I got a feeling you're going to get some premium players to fill those premium spots.
Yeah, so it's going to be a very, very interesting final 5 spots coming up, and we will talk about those next week. So until then, thank you so much for tuning in.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.